Great to have you with us this Wednesday afternoon. A story that did catch us by surprise yesterday. Well, certainly it did everyone around this show when the news came through that Sean Grigg had pulled the pin on his AFL career. 214 games in the first 4 years at Carlton, and then the last 8 or 9 at the Richmond Footy Club. What a contribution he made to the Tigers and the Blues when he was there, of course. And his AFL days are done and dusted, and I wonder how that sits with him. And the great man's been good enough to join us on the show. Griggy, thanks for your time, mate. Appreciate it.
Don't worry, Andy. Afternoon, mate.
Why now? Why did the? I wonder how long you've been thinking about it, and why the decision? Why you arrived at the decision now?
Yeah, it's probably a bit of a different one with the new rules. Obviously, this is the first year they've been in place. It's the mid-season draft, and these sort of conversations with my situation with my body failing and not being able to perform up to AFL level. That would happen later on in the year, but with the new rules, these conversations are probably going to start to happen earlier, and the club has been unbelievable in leaving it into my hands, and just deep down, I just knew I couldn't get back to play good enough footy and get my body right, so it was time to call it quits on my career, which hopefully might open up the door and someone else can realise their dream at the time.
Sure. That's unbelievable, Sean. Like, that is such a selfless position to take. Did you, you're aware of what's, you know, a couple of weeks away, and you've just described that, you know, brilliantly. Do you think you could have got back and played footy this year?
No, I don't.
Okay.
To be honest, I had a horrible pre-season, to be honest. I didn't get much work in at all, and then came back to training and had a couple of setbacks, and the way the game is now, it's so hard and demanding, and I just couldn't get to play good enough footy at AFL level. The game is so quick, and it'll just pass me by.
So did you need somebody from the footy club to say, listen, Sean, you know, we love you and we're going to give you all the time in the world, but, you know, bear this in mind. You know, we could do with a ruckman. We've got a run of injuries. We think we're a bit of a chance this year if we get it all right. You know, did you need someone to have that chat with you, or was that all already kind of, you know, rolling around in the back of your mind?
Yeah, that was certainly in the back of my mind. I understand how the footy business works, and I take great interest in, you know, the footy department, the footy admin side of the game. And, you know, if I'm sitting in Blair Hartley's chair or Dimmer's chair, you know, I can understand that they're probably thinking the same thing. So, I was certainly thinking it, and as good operators are at the footy club, I'm sure they were as well. So the conversation started a few weeks ago about if I could get back, and it was totally up to me to think if I could or not. There was certainly no pressure from them.
So how did you tell, who did you tell, and when did you tell them, and what did you say?
I told the boys yesterday. I'm not sure if that's what you mean, but yeah, I just sort of had meetings with, Dimmer and Blair Hartley, and also our doctor and head physios as well as family and friends.
Yep.
But it was mostly to do with myself. I just had to look deep down in myself and just be honest that as much as I'd love to continue and love to get back out there, I just looked deep down in myself and I just couldn't do it.
Is it too early to have thought about what comes next? Has that been, you know, you obviously sound like you've got, you know, real interest in, you know, the management of footy teams and the way clubs operate. Have you had a chance to think about, whether footy is going to remain part of your future?
Yeah, a little bit. I've had great insight at the first sort of 6 weeks of the year in the coach's box and the coaching side of things, which I love developing the young players, and you know, I get a great thrill of seeing that happen, and also club's been great in letting me delve into the admin side of it. You know, there's some great mentors there, Barmy, Blair Hartley, and yeah, so I'm just going to get my hands dirty in the footy department this year, learn all about it, and just try and help the club in any way I can this year so we can win games of footy.
That's great. Can you believe what happened? We're talking to Sean Grigg, who decided yesterday to pull the pin on, or publicly announced that he's pulled the pin on his AFL career, 214 games, and of course the premiership glory that he celebrated with Richmond. When you left Carlton, you know, after 4 years with the Blues in 2010, if I had said to you that you were going to play, you know, 170 games with another club and a premiership was going to be, you know, among them, could you have possibly have believed that?
Nah, not at that stage, Andy, I don't think. My probably career was at the crossroads with, you know, I had injury concerns when I was a Carlton form concern. So, yeah, the change of environment was great. And, you know, the confidence that particularly Dimmer instilled in me that I could be a good AFL player and contribute to climbing up the ladder, you know, to credit to him. And he's the main reason why probably I've ended up with the career I have.
How did that happen, Sean? How did it happen that, you know, that relationship allowed you to become, and that environment allowed you to become the player that you became?
He just backed me in pretty much and just allowed me to play to my strengths and encouraged me to keep doing what I'm good at, and he'll help me work on things that I'm not. And, that environment, we've seen guys blossom, and it's a massive reason why we were able to climb the heights we did in 2017. And also, 2018 was a great year for us as well. You know, it didn't end it the way we would have liked, but we still won 19 games and, you know, had a fantastic year.
So that role that you played, that sort of evolved into, and, you know, that kind of follower, the sort of relieving kind of, you know, fourth on-ball member of that, you know, kind of around the ball brigade. I can't even call you, or I can't say the pinch hitting ruckman. I can't say it. But, you know, that role that you played, I can't say you just. I just can't say it. But I mean, we all know what you did, and it was a credit to you. How did that evolve?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. It sort of just ended up with an unfortunate incident of Ben Griffiths when he kept getting those concussions for us in 2017, and someone had to do it. We didn't have a backup ruckman in the team at that stage, and I remember the, I think it was at a three-quarter time huddle that, you know, Dimmer came over me and put his arm over my shoulder and said, mate, you're going to play in the ruck, which I had a bit of a giggle at first, but I had so much fun with it. Working out ways to, you know, sort of try and trick the ruckman and just give him something different to think about. And it was quite funny because a lot of the ruckmen, and I'm close mates with a couple of them from other clubs, Dick Thor Jacobs in particular, they're just so scared about losing a hit out to a non-ruckman that it plays on their mind a bit. So I had great fun in doing it, and it really did work for us in those couple of years.
Come on, just between, you don't have to play against any of them anymore, so you can be honest. Who was the easiest to bluff? Was there one out there who you thought, this bloke's got no idea what I'm doing here? This is like taking candy from a baby. Like, was there one out there who was just a bit easy to get one over on?
Well, I did enjoy playing against Big Sauce because I lived with him for quite a while when I was at Carlton, and he was very worried he'd never hear the end of it if I ever did beat him in a ruck tap, and I didn't. But I enjoyed when the ball hit the ground and I used to run the big fella straight to our goal square, and he didn't like that too much.
Right. So 17 is the year that I'm sure you get asked about a lot, and, you know, it meant so much to that footy club, you know, obviously. Can you remember a moment through the year, Sean, when you thought, yeah, we're building something here and it might come around a bit sooner than later? Like, was there a moment when you started to get a bit excited about the possibility?
Oh, there definitely was. We saw signs in the later part of 2016. I know it was a really bad year, but we were able to blood some young guys in the last four or five games. We got some good experience and we saw some signs that they could stand up in AFL. So from there, I did notice some moments, but it was probably early days in the year. We won five in the trot, and I think, you know, after those first five games, we had a bit of a different game style, which, you know, at the start of the year, we weren't sure how it was going to go. And after we won those first five games, we sort of realised, hey, this is working for us, and why not us? Why can't it be us?
Well, and it proved to be that it could absolutely and very much be you guys. There was a lovely way that Richmond played its footy in when it was, and it can still do it, obviously, but you were part of it. And I wonder, you know, how clear of mind it was for you. I mean, you're in the middle of it, so you'll understand it better than us on the other side. But you were so composed and beautifully structured behind the footy, and that back six or seven that you had, and, you know, we don't need to go through the names, you were part of it often, understood exactly what you had to do, and you're almost waiting for the footy to come towards you so you could then go. And it was once you kind of, you know, did whatever you had to do as a, you know, switch, whatever, and then start moving. Once the footy got across the middle of the ground, then the thing just exploded and it became a different type of footy that Richmond played. The back half played one way, this is to my eye, and then the front half just played this completely different pace. Is my read kind of the way you saw it? And how in sync was that when it was, and how much fun was it to play when it was completely in sync?
Yeah, that the way you just put it was pretty right. And how much fun it was. Every line or every player had a specific role that was really clear to them, and we understood that if we nailed our role, how it would help someone else's role down the field. And so without that manic pressure in the forward line and through the midfield, the back probably wouldn't be able to intercept the ball the way they did. And like you said, it became fun for us.
Yeah.
That's the manic defense. Once it started working for us, it became contagious throughout the group, and we really enjoyed doing it. I know growing up as a young player, and the guys who get drafted are gifted offensively, a lot of them, and sort of defense is not a fun thing for them. If you understand, as a junior,
yeah,
they just want to get the ball the whole time.
Of course.
But we made defense fun, and we celebrated it, and we enjoyed it, and the coaches rewarded it for us.
And how much fun? I mean, there's a great piece in the Age. There's obviously, you know, tributes to your career in both the papers today, and we're delighted to be able to have a chat to you and, you know, pass on our respect to you for what you've been able to achieve in your career. But part of the both reads and listening to Jack Riewoldt talk about you last night, you're much loved. You're obviously, you know, a great teammate, and the guys you played your footy with enjoyed your company on and off the field. How important was that to you? That, you know, let's have a laugh. Let's get fair dinkum when we have to, but let's keep the thing in perspective as much as we possibly can. How important was that for you?
Yeah, it's the only reason probably why I made it so far. As a kid growing up in the country, I loved the Redan Footy Club in Ballarat, and I idolised those guys, and it was just a country footy club, and that's how I saw footy being played, you know. I always put deep heat on for training. I love that smell of deep heat from I remembered from the old times, and I used to cover a bit of flack for that. But I love the game of footy, and AFL is such a hard business, and we're so scrutinised. And I just wanted to make it fun. I wanted to turn up to work every day and enjoy it. I wanted to look back in, you know, when I'm 40 years old and say, gee, that was the time of my life, not the other way, and think of it as, oh, I'm relieved it's all over. That was tough. So pretty much I just wanted to enjoy it and try and bring others along for the ride with me.
It feels like you can confidently and comfortably say that about your time in the game at this level.
Yeah, I have. Early parts of my career, when you haven't worked out where you fit in and if you're going to be a solid contributor, but as you get older and you realise your time in the game is short in the context of your life, you need to make it enjoyable. And right now I'm already getting text message off the boys about what's going on in the locker rooms today.
Yeah, right.
I'm sort of thinking I might drive in there after here.
Well, it's funny they say that, don't they? That, you know, you go from being part of it, you go from being inside to outside really quickly. And do you already sense that?
It's something that I'm aware of and probably almost a concern when I've transitioned, but the beauty of, the footy club and how good they've been to me, I'm able to hang around for the rest of the year and help contribute in some way off the field. So I think the transition will be made a lot easier, whereas you see a lot of guys might get told, you know, after the last game or in their end of season review in late September and, you know, that's it, they're never coming back to the club. So I'm blessed that I can transition slowly, I suppose, and give me a bit of time to really come to terms with it.
Can you remember all the way back to your first game and how it came about and the message that you got telling you that you were in and who told you the message? Can you remember all of that?
Oh, I absolutely can. It was a pretty funny morning, actually. Dennis Pagan was my first coach, and I absolutely loved Dennis as a coach. He pulled me in to his office on a Thursday morning, and he sort of said to me, it was around 14, so it was sort of middle of the year, and he said to me, oh, in pre-season, what time did you run around Princess Park in? And I can't remember the exact time now, but I said, oh, about 11:20. And he said, righto, son, if you can go run around Princess Park now quicker, you're in. Geez, all right. So out I went around Princess Park. I had Tony Liberatore on a push bike, timing me with a stopwatch. And I managed to beat the time. And to his credit, I did the main training session after that and played on Saturday. Not very well.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. There's some, you made some great mates, obviously, both Richmond and Carlton. In the age story, they talk about the Carlton Wars. You were living in a house with a couple of blokes, and you've already mentioned one, and there was another house not too far away with three of your other teammates. In terms of working your way through the early days of, you know, apprehension and nervousness and anxiety about making a name for yourself and winning a place, how important was it to have five or six fellas that you were sharing those, you know, that experience with, that you could have a laugh with at the same time?
Yeah, absolutely. We're only, you know, 18, 19-year-old kids, and we had sort of competitions and a big trophy made up between the houses. You know, we go temping bowling, we go clay shooting, we have trivia nights at pubs, all those sorts of things that would be a weekly occurrence that we dress up in our uniforms and and just really have fun with. So, yeah, they're sort of memories that I look back on now, and I encourage our younger teammates to do stuff like that, and whenever they do, I'm sort of the first one to put my hand up and get involved with as well.
And are they still okay, Sean? We hear these stories about these young kids coming into footy these days, and they're a different type. You know, they're a bit more institutionalised, and, you know, they've come through these pathways, and, you know, there's a different type of breed almost. Do you see that? Do you feel like they need a bit of that kind of country footballer mentality, you know, kind of born into them a little bit?
I think so, because I'm pretty biased about that. But yes. Some of the boys coming now, and, you know, our players' room sometimes is dominated by the PlayStation game Fortnite, which I have absolutely no idea of. So I do show my age, and I let them know that some of the games that I used to play back in the day were, you know, 2009, 2010, and they find that quite comical. I can see the graphics on those things. So, they are a different breed, but we like to try and instill a bit of the old school country football life into them.
Mate, congratulations. We're lucky to have had a chat with you today. Everybody at this radio station, if they could, would pat you on the back and shake your hand. And we all love our footy, and, you know, job well done. I'm sure I express that on behalf of everybody here at SEN for what you've been able to achieve. And the respect that's coming through for you off the SEN, off the text machine, you know, goes to that as well. Well done on the selflessness of the decision you've made. I think it's a credit to you that you could see the bigger picture from a club perspective, as opposed to making it all about you. You should be enormously proud of what you've been able to achieve as a footballer, and the respect you have amongst your peers. Well played. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right, thanks for the kind words, Andy. Appreciate it.
From the heart, mate. Good on you. Sean Grigg, 214 games, premiership player with the Richmond Footy Club. And I can honestly say that loved by his teammates. They think he's a cracking bloke. And they, to a man, are happy and proud to have played their footy with him. So I'm sure on behalf of you lot out there, I extend the congratulations to him for everything he's been good enough to achieve.